no school.
Hey, enjoying your day off? I know I sure am. I gotta go.
No rules.
Ta-da!
You made this for me? Why?
It's your favorite animal, a whale.
But I like zebras.
Huh?
No problem.
You've stolen your last snow day from us.
Well, now I'm scared.
Charlie!
Chevy Chase. Chris Elliott. Snow Day.
I'm going to ask my friends here to give me just a little push.
I said a little one! Oh!
Welcome back for another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. The only rule of the podcast is that we must watch a movie that's rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. So for behind the scenes, we were going to post Rocky V yesterday. The plan was to record it on Monday, and we were going to post it on Tuesday, our usual schedule. Well, if you live in the Kansas City metro, you know we got hit with the blizzard. We got hit with the snow day, so we didn't come to work. We were unable to record, so we didn't get a chance to do Rocky V. We are going to post that one next week, but we decided to, because we had a snow day, to do the movie Snow Day, which got a 5.2 on IMDb. You know this is a big podcast because Rob is here. Rob is in doing this. Rob, of all the good movies that you've missed and haven't done the podcast for, the fact that you were doing the podcast for Snow Day, that shows real dedication to what we're building here in 2025.
You know what? I saw this movie in theaters as a kid. As we watched it again, I remember to myself, oh, I've seen this. And you know what? It has some surprising star power considering it's a children's movie. So I was happy to be back on the pod for this movie.
So Snow Day is rated a 5.2 on IMDb. The plot of this movie: when a school in upstate New York is snowed in, a group of students hijack a plow to keep the school closed. This movie debuted on February 11th of 2000, has a runtime of 89 minutes. Rob, this movie had a budget of $13 million and made $62.5 million at the box office. I understand that the people that listen to this podcast are a little bit older, so I'm not telling them something they don't already know. The fact that this movie was so successful in the box office really goes to show you how powerful Nickelodeon was during this time. That's the only reason why this movie did so overwhelmingly successful, is it was part of the Nickelodeon ecosystem. They were constantly promoting it, and you just wanted to go see it. They had so many hits, so many successes. This isn't a spinoff of anything. You and I have done Good Burger before. Yep. That's a skit on all that. This wasn't Harriet the Spy, where you remember that movie was big. This wasn't Rugrats movie. But the fact that it had Nickelodeon films on there, you wanted your parents to take you to go see it.
I also can imagine if I was a parent, you know, in the 90s, I probably grew up as an adult, a young adult, seeing Chevy Chase on SNL, seeing Chevy Chase do, you know, Caddyshack, seeing Chevy Chase do these, you know, Fletch, these big movies. So it was like, I can take the kiddos this movie. They're going to be happy because Nickelodeon Films does it. And I'm getting a major star from my childhood in Chevy Chase. So it was like a best of both worlds moment. So I understand why this movie did well in theaters. It appeased both audiences.
So let me give you guys the box office for its opening week. Scream 1 was number one at $16.3 million. The Beach debuted at number two at $5.2 million. Snow Day debuted at number three at $14.3 million. The Tigger movie debuted at number four at $9.4 million. And The Hurricane with Denzel Washington was number five that week at $3.6 million. Have you ever seen The Hurricane? I feel like that's kind of a forgotten Denzel Washington movie.
I think I have, but off the top of my head, I don't know if I've seen The Hurricane. I'm trying to think, what even is the plot of The Hurricane?
It's about a wrongly convicted boxer who's in jail.
And I have not seen The Hurricane.
No, I saw it a long time ago. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I absolutely have seen it. So the cast of this movie: Xena Grey is Natalie Branston. Mark Webber is Hal Branston. That's the older brother. He's the narrator of the movie. Jean Smart is Laura. That's the mother. Chevy Chase, you mentioned him earlier. He's Tom. He's a weatherman. Chris Elliott, he is Roger Stubblefield, a.k.a. Mr. Snowplow Man. Josh Peck, he is Wayne Allworth. Jay Yorker is Chet, a friend of Natalie. Scholler Fist, that is Lane. She's kind of the love interest of this.
Sorta.
Emmanuel Chakiri. I don't know if that's how you pronounce her last name.
She's from Entourage fame, or it's probably another things. I know her from Entourage.
Yeah, I actually know her from the movie In the Mix.
Oh, okay. Sure,
that's where I was like, oh, I've seen her before. She's in the movie In the Mix. She is Claire Bonner. Iggy Pop is Mr. Zellweger. Pam Grier is in this movie. You are right. There's a lot of star power in this movie, both adult and kids.
Because like when Josh Peck pops up, I'm like, oh, there's the Nickelodeon payoff. Like as a kid, you're going to see this movie because Nickelodeon films, and who do you immediately get? Josh Peck. You get Drake and Josh. I'm pretty sure Josh is also on All That. So like, you're getting the payoff as a kid of, oh, I know that guy immediately. And as an adult, like I said, Sloan from Entourage is in this and Chevy Chase. I mean, like, there was some star power in this movie.
Yeah, no, there absolutely is. Let me ask you this before we start to dive into the plot of this movie. I think if you asked a bunch of close to 40-somethings, right? You and I are, we are closer to 40 than we are 30, absolutely. At least I am. Do you consider this movie to be a classic? Because I don't think this movie is in that pantheon. There are certainly a lot of classic kid teen movies from this era and generation. I don't think that this movie is considered by a lot of people our age to be in that category. Would you consider this movie to be a classic?
No, it's not a classic, but I don't think it's a failure either. I was watching this movie yesterday during, you know, we were off because of the blizzard, during my own snow day, and my wife was work from home, so she watched a little bit with me, and we both came to the same realization. Oh, we both at different points in our lives saw this movie in theaters because we were of that age. We remembered it. We're like, oh yeah, there's this. There. We remember it, but it's not in that Good Burger pantheon where you're like, oh, that's a classic. We get Good Burger. It's not in that vein. It's probably more in the same vein of, remember we did the Power Rangers movie with Hartzell? We did that one for the podcast. This is probably in that vein. We all saw it in theaters. We all have fond memories because as a kid, you went and saw Power Rangers or a Nickelodeon movie in theaters. But it's not a classic, but it's not a failure either. It's just an easy-go-lucky watch.
Yeah, I was just really trying to figure out why, for a subject matter that is so relatable and every person can identify with what the core of this movie is, the core of this movie is celebrating a snow day, which we all look forward to. It's also geeky guy tries after the cute girl. That is a movie trope that just works so many times. I was trying to wonder how the movie had so many ingredients for classic movies that we've seen, and it's not in that category. And again, like movies from that era, like Spy Kids, I would consider to be a classic. I just feel like during this time, we kind of had, you know, you could make a really successful franchise out of kids' movies, and I just don't feel like this movie kind of met that criteria. So Snow Day starts, we meet Chevy Chase, who is our favorite local weatherman, but he's not really the favorite because the ratings aren't looking so hot. He needs to be more like his rival, Chad Simmons. The kids are waiting for snow, but this has been an unusually warm winter. Our narrator, Hal Branston, is in love with Claire Bonner, the cutie down at the pool, but she's not checking for him.
Her name was Claire Bonner. Was I obsessed? Let's just say I know the exact number of times she blinks per minute. Interesting. You see, that particular dive was telling me that she's looking for a new love in her life. You know, someone bold, fresh, sexy.
How? Claire Bonner wouldn't spit on you if your hair was on fire. To people like her, people like you, are invisible.
Hal slips into the pool, and at the bottom of the pool, he finds her whale ankle bracelet and is waiting for the right time to return it to her. We meet the mom of the family who seems like she is a very busy woman. I do think that one of the kind of flaws in this movie is, you and I talk about this all the time, so I'm happy to say this for the first time in 2025. Usually if a movie can kind of narrow it down to two or three storylines, you'll be in a much better position. I feel like this movie has seven storylines that is trying to go at one time. And I don't know if you really need the Chevy Chase weatherman back and forth. Like, I care
the beef,
that he's,
yeah.
I care that he's the best weatherman in the city. I feel like they tried to have the mom storyline, which I do feel like is a very relatable one. Mom is too busy and she's missing out on just being more active in her kid's life. I feel like that's a very relatable storyline. Most of the adult storylines, I don't really feel like were very necessary in this movie.
So I'm very happy you brought this up because this is the big thing I have written down in my notes. This is too busy. It's just too busy of a movie. I actually think the love interest thing with the high schooler trying to get Sloan from Entourage, Claire Bonner, and then finding out his, you know, tomboy friend is actually the person he likes and wants to spend 10 minutes at a time with. I think that storyline's very good. I think the younger kids against the snowplow guy. We want more snow days. This guy's so good at clearing the streets and, you know, upper New York, which makes sense. They see a lot of snow that we never get back-to-back snow days. We only get the one and they're always, you know, sparse. That stinks. But then you add in the mom, which is a relatable one, but I think they do it poorly. They add in Chevy Chase, which I kind of get, but they do it poorly because I don't care. They weirdly add in this principal thing, which they just basically like, we like to pelt the principal with snowballs. I every time he was on screen, I was bored. I don't care about him. It's just too busy of a movie. Pick two plot lines and go.
Yeah, the plot
lines, for 90 minutes. It's like 90 minutes of movie.
100%. The plot lines of the movie are his sister Natalie's trying to stop Mr. Snowplow Man so they can have an extra snow day.
Which I'm for.
And it's Hal chasing Claire, but this whole time, Lane, you can tell, Lane really cares about Hal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the core of the
movie.
That's
the best line.
And you're right, any time that we kind of deviate from those two things, we get away from what I think the movie is actually really, really good at. So Hal is not letting this Claire thing go. It is destiny for this future couple. It's time to strike up a conversation with Claire and approach her and give her back the bracelet. But of course he chickens out. His little sister Natalie is dreaming up a snowstorm, and look at that. Her dreams come true. Snow is coming. Lots of it. The kids get their snow day. The one thing that I don't say the one thing. That's not accurate. The thing I think this movie gets right the most was the anticipation of you either sitting by the radio or sitting by the television just waiting on them to make that announcement. Then now it's different. You might get a text or an email. It's a lot different than if you were a kid during this time and you would wake up, and I'm telling you, it was like you were scrolling the bottom line on ESPN, and at least how they did it where we were, because there were so many different school districts. You know, Raytown might have school, but Blue Valley doesn't have school, and you were just waiting to see.
And it was alphabetical.
Yeah, you were waiting to see your school come up on the thing, and the excitement and the hope. I think this is one of the coolest part of the movies to me.
That is the that's where the Nickelodeon film really shined, because that is what it was like as a kid to get ready for the snow day. Now, I will say I hated the principal storyline, but I grew up, my mom worked for the district. Teachers did not despise snow days or cheer against them the way they made this principal feel like he was, you know, some sort of villainous character. Everyone likes a day off. That kind of bothered me, but that's not here nor there. There was a hope and optimism, a feeling. And I remember as a kid too, you would get the one. And yeah, we didn't hate the snowplow guy, but you were hoping, oh man, maybe the roads get slushy enough or icy enough, or maybe there's like a little spitting snow that we get a second one. Cause you don't just want Wednesday off. You want Wednesday, Thursday off. So like that part they nail. The girl wanting more than one snow day, the girl pegging for the first one. They show those kids all hunched around the radio and TV. Oh, it, you know, the schools are closed and it's a celebration. All of that was done perfectly.
Do you think, and I was wondering this, and I understand this is the plot of the movie, so I'm not knocking it for it being the plot. Do you think they even enjoyed their first snow day? Like, I feel like the girl is so caught up in the second snow day.
Yeah.
That, do you really get to enjoy the snow day that you have?
She didn't really enjoy it. She was just obsessed with, you know, trying to get the next one. I would say
she was obsessed with doing something that has never been done before.
I would say the older brother enjoyed it, because he kept saying anything can happen on a snow day, which, I mean, I guess that's whatever cliche.
He had a great snow day.
I mean, that's not really how snow days worked in real life. It was mostly like, you're kind of playing in the snow and in the house, but I mean, whatever. He's like, he made the most of his one snow day. I don't think the sister did.
Coming to ruin their snow day is Snowplow Man.
Which, by the way, this guy is a major character in the Dan Levy show, Schitt's Creek, that won all those awards a few years ago. So when I saw him, I had that, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio moment. Oh, that's the guy from Schitt's Creek. There he is.
Yeah, I knew I had seen him somewhere. I've never seen that show before.
He's also in the Scary Movies. He's in those.
Oh, he's the one with the little hand.
He's
the one with the little hand. So
again, not a major star, but he was one where I'm like, oh, yeah, there he is. I know who that is.
Little hand guy from Scary Movie 2. Well, coming to ruin their snow day is Mr. Snowplow Man. Baby sister is already dreaming up of their second snow day when they haven't even started the first first one. Hal is going to use this snow day to finally shoot his shot with Claire. Baby Sitz hits Snowplow Man with the perfect snowball, causing him to wreck, but it was never going to be that easy. He's back up and wreaking havoc as he destroys their clubhouse. You and I talk about casting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie casted great. Hal is casted great. The little sister is casted great. Claire, you understand why that kid is obsessed with her. She dives. She's got the little ankle bracelet. She's one of the more popular girls at school. She's pretty. You got to nail the cast on this thing. And mm-hmm. I think Natalie, her and her little friends are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like Hal's character. Claire, I understand how Hal is kind of looking past Lane this whole time because he's so focused mm-hmm. on trying to get with Claire because she's the prettiest girl in town. I think they do a good job with the casting.
I think the casting is really well done. And I think at its core, the two plots I cared about are actually done well. The little girl who we presume is elementary school
yeah.
wants more snow days. She don't want to go to school. Her and her friends want to play in the snow. I think that's done well. The Lane girl, she's not unattractive, but she's not like, oh man, look
she's
at
not Claire.
Claire.
Yeah, she's not Claire.
And she has like the tomboyish, you know, I'm one of the guys type energy. So you have the element of like, you look past her. They did a really good job.
She looks like Spinelli from Recess.
Exactly. Which is the quintessential tomboy character. They do a good job with that. And they do a good job of, for a PG Disney, not Disney, excuse me, Nickelodeon movie, they do a good job of getting Emmanuel Chakiri, Sloane from Entourage, in a bathing suit by just making her a diver, which only makes her feel everyone else is bundled up and layered up and they're, you know, in coats. It's upper New York. She's in a swimsuit. So even though it's not like super revealing, it makes her feel more attractive. So that she's even cast well. They do a good job of highlighting that she's like the it girl by doing that.
I do think that Snowplow Man is probably an underrated kids movie mm-hmm. villain. Like we talk yeah. about how this movie kind of gets overlooked a little bit. That guy with his teeth and the truck and the bird, he was a great foil to what the little sister was trying to do. Well, back at home, Moms is working from home due to being trapped inside.
By the way, she's Zooming back in 1990 whatever.
Do you
like,
know who she was snooping with? Or who she was Zooming
I
with?
I did not know who that woman was.
That was Chili from TLC.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
That was Chili from TLC. So Moms is working Crazy. From home due to being trapped inside due to the snow and has to keep the little man occupied. He was a rambunctious mm-hmm. little boy. Claire's house is an absolute zoo. Every boy in the tri-state is outside trying to shoot their shot. She gives Chuck a minute of her time, but Hal has an idea. Chevy Chase and his boss are having creative differences, but his son finally gets the courage to let Claire know how he feels right there on the airways for the whole town to see.
Claire, I know you're watching. My name's Hal. You don't know me, but I know you.
Like I know that your favorite gum is watermelon bubblicious.
That you can't go a whole day without diving. And that you have the most amazing brown eyes I've ever seen. I also know that yesterday America's Dream Team broke up.
Choice. Personally, I think it was the right move.
So, today, if you're wondering what to do next,
I say try something new. Me. It's a snow day, Claire. Anything can happen.
The stunt may have worked because he definitely gets a special glance from his dream girl. Meanwhile, the kids are back. Well, their plan is to steal his keys, but they end up stealing his bird, Trudy. Well, he steals their fat kid,
Josh Peck.
He steals Josh Peck. He was a very stereotypical fat kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was farting the whole movie and a lot of nonsense.
They pour the ketchup on him. Yeah, yeah, just everything.
Very stereotypical fat kid. Well, Claire still has Hal on the brain, and she asked that loser Chuck some questions about her. And of course, he has no clue. Hal is keeping the pressure on Claire, and it's making his little friend jealous. Mr. Snowplow Man is looking for Natalie and stops by the house. Mom didn't have any suspicions.
Mm-mm.
Play? What? You think he's writing play? The little boy, why is the little boy riding in the car with this creepy adult and now he's coming to pick up your daughter so he can take a ride? The moms didn't have her antennas up. Not at all.
Well, she's too busy with work. again, I thought her plot line was useless. Like, and the youngest sibling that was part of it, like, she loses the phone in the snow. I was like, who cares? Move on.
So Mr. Snowplowman is looking for Natalie. He gives them a second, or if he gives them a second snow day, he can have his bird back. Meanwhile, at the diner, Hal's friend has to play wingman again. And I'm not really sure if she's good or bad at this. This girl really likes Hal, but it's just going along anyway. The exchange is made for the bird and Wayne. I do think it was very obvious that this little girl liked Hal the whole time, but I do think the way that they set it up in the diner scene, like, you can see as she's telling stories about how great Hal is, like, the light kind of goes off for everybody. Oh, this girl actually really likes him and is just going along because she thinks that's what's going to make him happy. She's making Claire kind of end up liking him more, but it causes the conflict with her because she actually likes Hal.
Also, as part of this whole Claire Lane, you know, love triangle, can we talk about the fact the boyfriend and his, like, cronies all have snowmobiles? I mean, again, it's upper New York, so maybe they're more in tune with snow and they're, like, prepared for it and people have snowmobiles. But you're telling me 16, 17 year old just riding around on snow days and snowmobiles, no problem. And at one point he gets it stolen because there's a, you know, a scene at the school on the football field. Like, I, as an adult, couldn't go to the fact that what parent gives a 17-year-old carte blanche to a snowmobile?
Okay, this is where I'll push back on you a little bit. I'm sure you had friends in high school who had ATVs.
I actually didn't.
Okay.
You
went to Blue Valley Northwest. Kids there, absolutely. You knew some kids. Or I knew kids that had some ATVs.
I knew. So when I went to school, Blue Valley Southwest didn't exist. So we were one of the, and Blue Valley West just opened. So
you guys didn't have the room to have them.
So there was, as you got kind of further away from, like, the city of Overland Park, there were, like, some more rural areas that are, of course, now developed. But, like, there were kids out there who had ATVs. They had a little more land compared to, like, people in the city. But, like, that was more like a Blue Light West, like, Southwest thing. But I was aware there were ATV kids, but it was not my high school or my clique.
Yeah,
but is that the equivalent of a snowmobile?
Yeah, that's kind of how I looked at it. I mean, I ain't never ridden one of these. I've never ridden a jet ski. I've never ridden a snowmobile. I've never ridden an ATV. I like to walk. I like to walk in these scenarios. Well, Hal is at the football field making a snow whale for Claire, thinking that's her favorite animal, but it's actually zebras. Chuck appears with some of his goons on a snowmobile and continues his cock-blocking campaign against Hal. While he's telling Claire why he brought the bracelet for her, Hal jets off in his snowmobile and gets away from him and his goons. Mom has a big Zoom set up, but Randy, the little one, runs away. As she is set to start her call, Randy lures her into a snowball fight, and now she gets to enjoy her snow day. Natalie is now talking to the action figures who were trying to tell her to keep up the fight against Snowplow Man. Hal and Lane meet back up. She's done helping out Claire. She's ready to help herself, and she kisses Hal because it's a snow day and anything can happen.
Tough break back there with Claire.
Nothing I can't handle.
Come on, Hal. Let me bring you back. But I like zebras.
A minor setback.
What is your problem?
Hey, I still say I found that bracelet for a reason.
I really don't want to hear another word about that crappy bracelet.
It's not crappy. What?
Forget it. Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Just leave me alone. Can't believe I wasted a whole snow day on this.
Oh, and what mind-blowing thing didn't you get to do today? Please, tell me.
You don't want to know.
Yes, Lane, I do.
This.
There was only one scene, I guess there's maybe two scenes in the movie I didn't like. This was one of the scenes. The movie is realistic to a certain extent. I get it. She likes some in the snow, so that's not realistic.
Yeah, I mean,
why does the movie then turn into Toy Story?
Yeah, I didn't like.
She now starts just talking to the action figures like, this is stupid. This is where, to me, the parents, this was the purpose of the parent. Mm-hmm. Your mom talks to you and, hey, if you believe in this, keep doing it. Or the mom, like,
let Chevy Chase be the first one to be like, there's more snow coming. Yeah. It's part of his weatherman fight. Yeah. That And then she takes it with him. I'm not trying to jump ahead. At the end, she like holds it up as like, I have the power. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I just don't know why the movie then eventually had to turn into Toy Story. It just never really made any sense. Well, Tom finally confronts Chad Simmons about who's really running this weather things. Hal finally gets his one-on-one with Claire. She kisses him, but he finally realizes his true feelings for Lang. Baby Sis hasn't quit her crusade yet against Snowplow Man, and this time she is an army with her fellow students who tie up Snowplow Man, and the kids are about to go unplow the streets, but first they have to make a pit stop to stop Chuck from pummeling her brother Hal. Well, the movie ends with Hal meeting back up with Lane and finally telling her that he feels the same, and this ends the movie Snow Day. How do you like the ending of this movie? You kind of mentioned a little bit. She holds up the action figure.
Didn't like that part.
And kind of summons all the rest of the kids, and they tie them up. What do you think about the last, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes of this movie?
Okay, so I didn't really care about the Weatherman story, even though I think like Chevy Chase is a big star. He didn't really, wasn't really funny in this movie, so I didn't really care about him being like the better Weatherman. So that moved me none. Outside of the action figure part, I liked the fact the little girl got all the kids together to stop Snowplow Man. Because, remember, part of the villainous of Snowplow Man is like, he would plow one street and like, oh man, the Joneses down the block, their street got plowed. Oh no, they're coming to our street. She like galvanized the community. I like that. I like the ending with Claire, and it's a very classic, you know, trope. Oh, the girl I wanted isn't the girl for me. He then goes and's with his friend Lane, and they go ice skating, and they have that little cutesy moment where it's like, I thought you told love was like people you can tolerate 10 minutes of. I want to spend the next 10 minutes with you. That was fine. You had the little confrontation with the bad guy, Claire's ex. That was fine. But outside the action figure thing, I just did not like.
I thought it was kind of hokey too.
And the tying up the Chris Elliott guy. There was a way to make that work without tying him up to a dead end pose. But overall, I think the movie tied up nicely for a kids movie.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, they give this movie a 29% and an average score 4.26. The site's critical consensus reads, quote, weak assembly of characters and storylines make this movie forgettable and silly. Listen to this paragraph on Wikipedia. In comparison to the 1983's A Christmas Story, Roger Ebert calls the Chicago Sun-Times calls Snow Day, quote, an uninspired assembly of characters, storylines that interrupt one after another until the battle against Mr. Snowplow Man takes over just when we are hoping he will disappear from the movie and set free the teenage romance that is trapped inside of it. He also mentioned that they kind of misused Pam Grier's character because this is the first movie that Pam Grier does after Jackie Brown. So, you know, Jackie Brown, 2010, she does a good job in that. And now we put her as just this weather person in this
movie. She's like the program director. She wasn't like a weather person. She was like the be careful of the ratings lady.
Yeah, I don't really know why anybody would compare this movie to A Christmas Story. Like, Christmas Story is a classic movie.
And you talked about
That's not what this is.
You talked about the box office at the very beginning of the... It wasn't like it got released around Christmas time, right? Like, this movie to me feels like a late January, February release.
February, yep.
Where, like, the kids are, like, you know, excited for the prospect of snow and spring break around the corner. Comparing it to A Christmas Story is... If you were going to compare it to A Christmas Story, you're going to really hate this movie because it is worse than A Christmas Story in every way. But I never at any point thought to myself, oh, this is A Christmas Story. It just seemed like a Nickelodeon snow movie to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that the comparison is very fair. And I guess with this where it says uninspired assembly line characters of stories and storylines, I think you and I have figured it out. If you just focus in on the two main storylines, I think you're fine. I like Mr. Snowplow Man. I think he's a good villain. He's trying to stop the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, the two main characters each had their own villain. The little girl had a villain, and then Hal has a villain. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the dad needed a villain. It just didn't... It felt like, hey, we got Chevy Chase in this. We want to put him on the cover of this movie. To your point from earlier, we think this is going to bring in adults.
An adult audience.
So we have to do it. So we have to give him something. No, just make him the person that gives advice. Have him be the weatherman that kind of pushes the story along.
And the one time he actually did that, I think it was a good scene. Remember, after the kid steals the airwaves and is like, Claire, I love you. I know you like to swim every day. All that stuff. He's like, well, son, back in my day, you impressed a girl with cologne or a little aftershave. You didn't jump on a news station and take over your dad's broadcast, but, you know, whatever. He's like, us weathermen are resilient. When he wasn't, like, when he wasn't trying to rival another weatherman, he actually did an okay job in that role, but they just didn't utilize it.
And the movie just doesn't really give us any reason to dislike this Chad Simmons character until the very, very end of the movie when you find out that he's not a real weatherman. Mm-hmm. Who cares about that? I don't care about that.
I will say, as much as I didn't care about that, the little kid calling him a fraud and a loser did make me laugh. Can you imagine if, like, Brian Busby and Gary Lezak were both at the same location? And they were like, all right, tell us the weather. And he was like, well, snow comes from an Eskimo word. And then some little 8-year-old's like, you suck. You're a loser and a fraud. I'm like, that would be the funniest moment.
What do you think this movie gets right?
The two plot lines.
Yeah.
I think it's the high school plot line and the kid plot line really, really right. I just think they jammed in too much other stuff. And I think the more we talk about this movie, the more I think about it, it circles back to the point I made at the beginning about how they brought in the adult audience and the kiddie audience with Chevy Chase. It felt like they were trying to pay off that adult audience by having the Chevy Chase storyline or the busy mom storyline, which is much more relatable to an adult. But it didn't do anything. It didn't move anything. You can have that character in the movie and you can have him be useful, but still placate the kids with their storylines and make theirs great. I think it was too busy, but what they did right was the love triangle and the girl hating the snowplow man.
Yeah, I really don't think I can add anything to what you're saying. I think you and I, this might be the movie that I can't remember the last time that you and I feel almost the exact same about a movie. What I think the movie gets right, you and I agree on. What I think the movie gets wrong, I didn't remember this movie, so it was a fun, nostalgic watch. And you and I have mentioned this before when we've done other Disney movies and kiddie movies in this vein. Man, the ability to kind of see forward, to have Josh Peck in this mm-hmm. movie, to have, I don't know if you remember, but the little black kid, that was the kid that was in Gridiron Gang. That was mm-hmm. Willie Weathers. That was the main character in that movie. To have Sloan from Entourage in this movie, like, you had a really good cast that you were able to put together. You did it relatively cheap at $12 million. You made $62 million. It's a kid's movie in the 2000s based on a snow day, and I do think that the movie captures what it means to have a snow day. All right, let's get to the rating of this movie. This movie is rated a 5.2 on IMDb. Is that too much, too little, or just right?
I think it's a little bit too low. I'm not saying this is a 6. This movie definitely makes the podcast because it is too busy and is trying to do too much. But 5.2, I think, is a product of getting held to that weird Christmas story standard. This movie's a fine 5.5, 5.6, 5.7. It's a little better than they give it credit for. It's not great. There are better Nickelodeon movies. It should definitely be a candidate for this podcast, but it is not, you know, 5.2, 5.1, 5 zip code. It's a little too low.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would probably rank this movie the same range that you have it, somewhere in the 5.5 to 5.7 range. I think this movie is really rewatchable. That if you had a 9-year-old or an 11-year-old that didn't grow up in the Nickelodeon era the way that you and I did, and you guys were looking for something to watch and you turned this movie on, I think they would still mm-hmm. like the movie. I think it holds up, you know, 25 years later, and this movie came out in the early 2000s. I think that's a really encouraging thing about it. I think the movie has a heart. I think the movie has a meaning in the end. And I think it's a really fun movie. I think 5.2 is unusually harsh on a movie mm-hmm. like this. 5.7 is probably what I would rank this at. This movie is fine. I'm with you. You cannot put this movie over a 6. 5.7 feels like a fair number to me.
Again, I didn't love the movie, but I watched it for 90 minutes and I felt like we have definitely seen worse movies 100%. On this podcast.
I didn't hate watch it either.
I didn't hate watch it. And at no point where it held my attention. Now, part of that's 90 minutes and it's a kid movie, so everything's moving fast, but it did a good job of doing exactly what it needed to do, which is you put it on. If it's 2002 and you put this on during a snow day for your kid at home, you know what your kid's going to be? Busy for 90 minutes and be fine.
That was another episode of the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. Do us a favor. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Bad Movies Worst Opinions to stay up to date on the podcast. I promise you next week we will get to what our usual schedule was. Rocky V will be on the podcast next week. We're really excited to do it. I've already watched Rocky V. You watched it too. We just had to find a time to actually sit down and be able to record it. We will record it. It will be out next Tuesday. Sorry we had to switch the schedule up. I think you guys understand. And the weather just was not cooperating, and hopefully you enjoyed your snow day. Until next week, keep it locked in right here on the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast.